Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes Podcast.
Yes.
In today's episode, we are going to give you guys a chance to be the first to listen to our audiobook recording of A Love Letter Life. So a couple months ago, Jeremy and I went up to Seattle and we sat in a little studio and recorded our audiobook and basically read our book for 3 days straight.
Yeah.
And so we're super excited that we got to be the ones to be the voice behind our own love story.
Definitely.
And we're really excited for you guys to be the first to listen to the audiobook recording. So in this episode, we're going to share the first part of our book. It's going to be our first letter in the beginning. So you're going to get to listen to that in this episode. And if you are an audiobook listener, you can actually pre-order the book on Audible, on Amazon, wherever you listen to your audiobooks, and you'll still be eligible to win those pre-order freebies that Jeremy and I are giving away up until April 2nd when our book actually releases. So make sure you do that if you haven't yet. And anything else you want to say, babe?
No. Well, without further ado, here is the first little bit of our book.
Mandatory reading. Our first letter. Audrey. It was a storybook summer. We spent our days walking train tracks, riding in truck beds, sneaking through train tunnels, jumping off bridges, picking berries, playing fugitive, climbing hay bales, exploring old barns, playing harmonicas, watching drive-in movies, and losing track of time. We capped off nearly every evening by the campfire pit, permanently saturating our clothes with the smell of smoked Pacific Northwest pine and sacrificing sleep to be together, even when togetherness meant simply sitting in silence and waiting for the sound of the train to echo through the rolling hills of Helvetia, Oregon. As the country song goes, this was the summer I turned a corner in my soul. It was a summer unhindered by time and full of adventure. It was the summer I finally let myself fall for the farm boy who had patiently pursued me for 2 years. It was a summer of winning moments that consistently affirmed we were falling in love. As September drew near, our summer of timeless perfection was coming to a close, and we both had different finish lines. I was headed back to college at Oregon State in Corvallis for preseason cross-country training, and Jeremy was transferring from Portland Community College to Brooks Institute of Film and Photography in Santa Barbara, California. All summer, we had chosen to ignore the fact that our relationship would eventually be complicated by 900 miles of separation. It made the 15-minute commute from my parents' house in the suburbs to Jeremy's family farm in the country seem like nothing. We both anticipated a defining goodbye, but neither of us was sure it would mark the end of a summer love or the beginning of a lifelong love story. In the weeks leading up to Jeremy's departure, we felt increasing pressure to have the DTR, the Define the Relationship talk. We both agreed we needed to talk about expectations for our relationship before we went back to school. Would we be just friends? Would we begin a long-distance dating relationship? Or would we just raise our glasses to an epic summer and move on? After heading home from another evening by the campfire, I got a text from Jeremy. Audge, we need to talk about what we're going to do. I knew what he meant. Yes, we do. Tomorrow, I'll pick you up around 5 and we'll go to the trestle to talk. We won't leave without discussing the future of our relationship. With butterflies in my stomach, I typed, sounds like a plan. That night, I nervously scribbled my unfiltered thoughts in my journal. All summer, I had been praying for discernment in anticipation of the day that we would inevitably have the DTR. For me, there was a lot more riding on our conversation than whether or not Jeremy and I would officially start dating. 2 years previously, I had made a commitment to myself that I wouldn't enter a serious dating relationship with someone I couldn't see myself marrying. That made saying yes to dating feel like saying yes to Jeremy for the rest of my life. Looking back, despite all my efforts to be intentional, I realized that in some ways, I had put too much pressure on dating. After all, how are you going to figure out if someone is worth marrying if you avoid or turn down every guy who looks your way? Maybe I needed to be more willing to experience a few awkward no's before I found my yes. When I woke up the next morning, I analyzed every possible outcome of our conversation. Would he ask me to be his girlfriend despite the long distance? Or would we shy away from that level of commitment and agree to just see what happens? We were both aware of all that was riding on our conversation, which made the hours leading up to our DTR feel like days. Unlike our summer of timeless days, this day was completely pressured by hard stop time, our 5 o'clock meeting, and our impending back-to-school dates. I heard the rumble of Blue Moon accelerating into my neighborhood long before it reached my street. Blue Moon was Jeremy's rusty, dented, pale blue Volkswagen van. Every time I heard Blue Moon, or any of Jeremy's old cars, pull up to my house, my heart beat faster and my hands grew shaky. Even though I could hear him coming from a mile away, I waited upstairs for him to park and come to my door. Unlike most guys I had dated, Jeremy never sat in his car and texted, "I'm here." He always came to the door and knocked. When I opened the door this time, I could have sworn he got cuter overnight, which spiked my nerves and my heart rate even more. We greeted each other with blushed faces and flirtatious smiles. Jeremy walked me over to the van and opened the door for me. As he did, he said, "Hey, we should try to throw our shoes before we talk. I brought them." Jeremy and I had decided we wanted to timestamp our summer in a concrete way. True to unconventional form, we had this idea to tie together two of our old shoes, one of his and one of mine, and toss them over a wire under our beloved train trestle, one of the longest wooden train bridges in North America. The train trestle had become our spot that summer, and we wanted to leave our mark. Although we didn't say it out loud, I think we both hoped that the shoes would become a forever reminder of the summer we began a lifelong love story. "Oh yeah," I blurted. "I'm glad you remembered." This quirky task calmed my nerves. Now we had something else to do besides have the talk. Our nerves made for a pretty quiet 12-minute drive to the bridge. Once we arrived, Jeremy parked Blue Moon on the gravel road just up the way from the trestle. He opened the side door of the van and we sat on the floorboard prepping for our shoe mission. We firmly tied our shoelaces together and on the bottom of one of Jer's shoes wrote, "Jer and Odge, summer 2011. Then we walked the quarter mile to the opening in the railroad beams where the bridge arches over the road. This is where we had scouted the perfect spot to throw our shoes in hopes that they wouldn't be easily discovered and would be nearly impossible to take down. A thin wire ran underneath the railroad tracks about 60 feet up. As we stood beneath it, I felt only grim hope that we would accomplish this mission successfully. In contrast, Jeremy looked up at the wire with confident assurance. He immediately kicked off his Birkenstocks and began climbing up the wooden beams, staining his feet with creosote as he ascended. Once he reached a beam with a good tossing angle, he launched the shoes at the wire. One of the shoes struck a beam, sending them ricocheting back down onto the hot summer blacktop. I quickly retrieved them and tried to fling them back up to Jeremy, but my aim proved horrible. Jeremy had to climb down and then go back up again. This time, before throwing our shoes, he closed his eyes and playfully prayed, "Lord, help me make this." On his second attempt, the laces caught the wire perfectly, and the shoes wrapped around it multiple times. He did it. I was stunned. I've always been wary of signs, but the shoes sure did feel like one. Jer climbed down and we stared up at our shoes with pride, both of us secretly hoping this would be a permanent symbol of a beginning rather than an end. We wanted to take a minute to tell you guys about our new book, A Love Letter Life: Pursue Creatively, Date Intentionally, and Love Faithfully. We believe that there are stories, tools, inspiration, and ideas for you in this book to do just that. Be more intentional, creative, and faithful wherever you're at in your love story. So whether you're single, dating, or married, we think that there are things in this book for you that will help you live the love story that you would want to have read back to you one day. So
As of right now, there are only 4 more days to pre-order our book before it releases out into the world on April 2nd. So make sure you go to aloveletterlife.com to pre-order the book before April 2nd so you can get all the awesome freebies that we are giving away when you pre-order the book. And if you do that in the next 4 days, you'll get an email from us with Jeremy's custom photo presets, a list of fun, creative, budget-friendly date night ideas, a Spotify playlist with a bunch of awesome love songs, and our marriage journal for 50% off. So do that in the next 4 days, and we know you guys are going to love this book. We walked back through the unharvested grass fields that surrounded the trestle beams and up a sloping hill until we reached the top of the tracks. We sat on the sun-warmed rails, and Jeremy suggested we start our conversation with prayer. We bowed our heads. I don't remember everything he said, but I do remember he prayed for the Lord's will in our relationship. As we said amen and lifted our heads, I felt simultaneously hot and cold. A rush of heat filled my face, and I was frozen with nervousness. I'm usually a pretty decisive person. I pride myself on being a fast outfit picker, and I'm always the first to order at a restaurant. But when it came to dating, I experienced a change in cabin pressure. I knew that dating Jeremy meant 3 years in a long-distance relationship, and I felt apprehensive about the burden that long-distance might become. Doubt swirled in my mind. I was afraid that the distance might ruin our love story. Would we have a better chance at forever if we just stayed friends until we could be in the same city again? I liked Jeremy. He was husband material, and I was beginning to envision a future with him. But what if it was just bad timing? I had spent the morning journaling and praying about how to express my concerns to him, but in the moment, I couldn't recall any of them. To my relief, Jeremy initiated the conversation. He started out by recapping our glorious summer. We both beamed with joy as we relived all the memories we had made. Then there was a pause. With a more serious tone, Jeremy looked me in the eyes and said, "I know we both said we would never do long distance, but I think I'll always wonder what could have been if we don't at least try. I don't want to look back on this summer as just a blissful memory with that girl I once knew. Audrey, when I go off to school in Santa Barbara, I want to be able to call you mine. Will you be my girlfriend?" "Yes," I said with my whole heart. While he was talking, an overwhelming sense of peace had come over me. All the worries and uncertainties I'd had about being in a long-distance relationship suddenly vanished. We sat in silence for a moment, realizing that this marked the culmination of a 2-year patient pursuit. Although we didn't know it at the time, it also marked the beginning of an ongoing pursuit for the rest of our lives. Bursting with adrenaline, we held hands as we trekked back down the sloping hill into the now starlit fields. When we reached the road beneath the trestle, Jeremy stopped and suggested we take in the night sky for a moment. We lay down on the pavement and gazed up. There was a full moon that night, but it was a massive shooting star racing across the sky that forever sealed the moment in our memories. Finally, we were officially dating, but we had only 10 days before Jeremy had to leave for school. We savored every minute together during those 10 days and ended each night by the campfire pit. We held hands, shared our first kiss, and gave voice to the thoughts we'd had about each other but had concealed for so long. As we talked by the campfire on Jer's last night, we committed to writing letters to each other. Yes, letters. Real pen and ink on paper, folded into stamped envelopes. We wanted more than text messages and nightly phone calls. We had a deep desire to add excitement and creativity to our communication and also to chronicle the growth of our love. Letters seemed perfect. On August 25th, 2011, Jeremy left for his new home in Santa Barbara. I drove to his house to watch Blue Moon kick up dust as it rumbled down the long gravel driveway at Roloff Farms, packed to the brim with his belongings. Before we said one of our first drawn-out goodbyes, Jeremy handed me my first letter. It was wax-sealed in an old brown envelope. I felt like a starlet on a set of a 1950s romance movie. He asked me to wait to read it until after he had left and then to mail my response to his new apartment in Santa Barbara. He wanted something to look forward to. Holding his first letter made me feel like I was holding the immunity idol in Survivor. I wasn't naive to the fact that we would endure many tribal councils in our years of long distance, but something about holding that first letter gave me confidence that our torches would keep burning. In our final moments before goodbye, we both felt a whole gamut of conflicting emotions, unsure yet confident, nervous yet at peace, heartbroken yet excited. One thing we wholeheartedly agreed on was that love wouldn't just happen to us. We had to pursue it. We were committed to writing our own God-inspired love story. Jeremy's first letter was the start of our love letter life.
Audrey, well, this is the beginning. Such an amazing feeling. I just want to say I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to our next chapter as God is on our side. I will be praying for you and for us. I really want you to speak your mind with me. I want to know what you're thinking. It makes me feel better because I didn't know for so long. As always, there is so much I want to say to you, but I just get lost in my thoughts. It's okay, though. We have plenty of writing to do. And Skype. I feel the need to emphasize the concept of being open with each other through this process. We went 2 years with keeping things bottled up, which I believe worked out for the better, but it might have become a habit. However, we are dating now, so the rules have changed. If something bugs you, let me know. We had so much fun this summer, Aj. I really enjoyed getting to know you more. One of these days, we will get our notes and thoughts together and write a screenplay. Or a book. Well, I'm going to keep this one short because I don't have time. You're on your way over. If you ever cannot read or understand what I'm saying, text me. Or we will Skype date it. You're beautiful. The beginning. Jeremy. 2 years earlier, I almost missed my chance to meet Audrey. It was during winter break of my freshman year of college when I received a text from an old friend named Mitch. Jer, I have someone you need to meet, a girl. You free Saturday? I was still recovering from a failed 3-year relationship, and this wasn't the first time a friend had tried to set me up. I promptly shut him down. Hey man, good to hear from you. No, I'm busy. Sorry. This happened during the peak of Little People Big World, a reality television show about my family that had been airing for 5 years at the time. I had gotten used to people asking me to meet friends and friends of friends. I always felt uncertain about the motives behind the meetings, so I rarely obliged. However, Mitch was an old friend, a good friend, who had my trust, and he insisted. Reluctantly, I agreed to a blind date with some girl named Audrey. What made me say yes, I still don't know. I spent the rest of the week looking for reasons to bail, even up to the last minute. Before I could cancel, Mitch texted me the address of Audrey's parents' house. It was just a couple hours before we were supposed to meet up, so I was too far in to back out now. That evening, I tried on 5 different outfits before I climbed into Oso, my little orange 1971 BMW 2002, and headed down the misty driveway. Although I was reluctant to go, there was something thrilling about going on a date with someone I knew nothing about, and I wanted to make a good impression. I arrived 10 minutes early and parked across the street from Audrey's parents' house. The front lawn was perfectly manicured. A brick archway stretched 30 feet high and framed the front door, which was covered with perfectly arranged Christmas decorations. A fluffy white cat was perched in an upstairs window and looked down at me as though he knew what I was in for. Everything seemed too tidy. Goodness, she's probably a straight-A student type, I thought. Awkward, boring, high maintenance. Now I felt even more apprehensive. I had never gone on a blind date before, and to be honest, it just felt embarrassing. I wasn't desperate. I was doing this for a friend because I trusted him and he had insisted. I was convinced that there was no way sparks would fly and zero chance I'd hit it off with some random girl from the burbs. I walked up to the front door, knocked, and waited. No answer. No sounds of stirring. Nothing. I raised my hand to give it another knock when, shabang, the door flew open while my hand was still in midair. Before me stood a girl with frizzy red hair, wearing running buns, and a sports bra. Her petite frame was dripping with sweat and speckled with mud. What in the world kind of girl opens the door dressed like this when meeting a complete stranger? She was slender and pretty and had a big smile on her face. I thought she was probably expecting me to be Kelsey, Mitch's girlfriend and one of Audrey's best friends who was going to be joining us. "Hi," I said. "Are you Audrey?" Some part of me hoped this mess of a girl was Audrey's sister or something. "Yeah, hi," she said. "You're Jeremy. Nice to meet you. Sorry, I'm running a little behind. Kelsey and Mitch aren't here yet, but come on in. The words flew out of her mouth almost as fast as the run she'd apparently just finished. No worries, I know I'm a bit early. The words were barely out of my mouth before she turned around and bolted up the stairs, calling back something like, I'll be ready in a few, just wait in the kitchen and... Her voice trailed off as she rounded the corner. Still standing in the doorway, I let myself in the house, took off my shoes, and placed them neatly next to the others under the entryway bench. I found my way to the kitchen and sat down. Well, this is awkward. Looking around the house, I concluded that the family seemed normal enough. The house was clean and organized. Sports trophies lined the shelves, scripture cards were posted on the fridge, and a tray of homemade desserts filled the counter. Okay, maybe this won't be too bad. A few minutes later, to my relief, there was a knock at the door. Before I could get up, I heard the door open and shut, and someone kick off their shoes. From around the corner walked Kelsey. I knew of Kelsey, but we hadn't met. Mitch and Kelsey had been dating for a while, and both had gone to high school with Audrey. Kelsey was in Audrey's tight group of friends, whom I would later come to know as the God Squad. Mitch showed up a few minutes later and joined us at the kitchen table. While we chatted about the plan for the evening, I got the feeling Mitch and Kelsey both had higher expectations than I did. The plan was to eat dinner at the local macaroni grill, where we were sure to engage in some thrilling conversation, before heading to the opening service of Solid Rock. Solid Rock was the church they all attended, and a new campus was launching that night in downtown Portland. I had been there occasionally, but I was in a season of spiritual complacency and wasn't regularly reading my Bible or committed to a church. Audrey eventually walked down the stairs, and I looked over from across the room as she approached the kitchen table. Her beautiful red hair was pulled to the side and cascaded down the front of her floral ruffled blouse. She wore black leggings that formed to her athletic legs and black lace-up boots. Her lips shimmered with a generous gloss of red lipstick. Okay, fine. She's hot. We all piled into Audrey's red Mazda and headed off to dinner. When the server came to take our drink order, Audrey casually looked up from her menu and said, I'll take a glass of milk. Milk? Who is this girl? Who orders milk at a restaurant? And on a blind date? Over dinner, we talked about a wide range of topics, and I found myself both perplexed and intrigued by Audrey. Her thoughts, interests, and mannerisms were peculiar, and I couldn't get a read on her. She was unlike any girl I had ever met. Our curiosity was mutual. She would later say she felt she had met the boy version of herself, that I was quirky like her, and we were interested in many of the same things. Prompted by Mitch, we discovered that we even shared the same favorite movie, Stand By Me. There was no neat box I could fit this girl into, and there was zero mention of Little People Big World. The show was usually one of the first things, and sometimes the only thing, that people I'd just met wanted to talk about. That alone threw me off guard and piqued my interest. After dinner, we headed to church, where I met the rest of the God Squad. When I asked about the name, they explained that some boy in middle school had called them the God Squad as a way to poke fun, but the name had stuck. The service was routine, pray, sing, sermon, pray again, but there was a lot of energy in the room. Everyone was excited to celebrate the beginning of this new campus. I, however, was preoccupied with this unusual girl and also a little self-conscious, knowing that her best friends and Mitch and Kelsey were constantly looking in our direction to see if anything was happening between Audrey and me. After church, we drove back to Audrey's place and said our goodbyes. It wasn't a sparks-flying kind of night, and yet something about it felt so right. I was curious about this girl. She clearly marched to the beat of her own drum. I liked that. Her confidence and strong sense of herself was refreshing. Something about our meeting felt meant to be. Even though I couldn't get a good read on her, there were uncanny moments when I felt a deep sense of connection and a longing for more. Who is this girl? I decided to press on and find out. That blind date marked the beginning of my patient pursuit of Audrey Mirabella Bodie.
All right. Well, there we have it.
Sorry to leave you hanging there.
The first listen to the audiobook of A Love Letter Life.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed it.
And if you guys want to keep reading, you can, if you pre-order the book, whether it's on Audible or the actual hardcover book, you can actually get the first two chapters to read immediately.
Yeah.
We'll send them to you when you go to our A Love Letter Life website and claim your freebies.
Yeah.
So if you want to keep reading, you can do that. Otherwise, we got to wait to listen on the rest on Audible until it comes out April 2nd.
Definitely. And speaking of April 2nd, there is something coming up that's really cool. I think there's a day or two left. to sign up for it. If you haven't pre-ordered the book yet and you know you're going to buy it at some point, first of all, you might as well pre-order it. Plus, you get all the freebies. Plus,
On Thursday,
if you pre-order it through the way we're about to tell you, you can get a signed copy as well.
Yes.
So you get a signed copy, you can get all of the freebies, and it's going to be shipping really soon anyway, so you might as well do it this way. But anyways, it's called a live signing. And if you go to aloveletterlife.com.
Click tour
or scroll down to tour dates. The first option on the tour dates is called
Your Comfy Couch.
You click that. And then you'll be able to pre-order the book and you will be
able to get a signed copy while sitting on your comfy couch.
Yes. And it's going to be a live and us sitting signing. On ours. So you'll get a link and it'll basically be us streamed online. So you'll watch us sign books, answer your questions. If you submit your phone number, we're going to be calling people. It's going to be a really fun time. It's basically like
a private live.
Private live. Yeah. And you'll get a signed book. So that's pretty cool. I think 2 days left to do that.
So if we're not coming to your city for our book tour, that's how you can get a signed book. And I think it'll be fun. We're excited for it. They're
really
doing it in our house. So we'll be here sitting on our comfy couch while you're sitting on yours.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and again, that's at aloveletterlife.com. Scroll down to tour dates.
And if we are coming to your city, you can see the rest of the tour dates and locations there. If you want to get your book signed and say hi in person, you can pre-order your book through any of the retailers that are listed at the tour locations where we're doing the signings.
Yeah.
So that info is all on aloveletterlife.com.
Yep.
Should we do our roses and thorns?
Yep, it's that time. Roses and thorns and roses. Babe, what's your thorn for this week?
So my thorn, I hate to be a broken record here, but my thorn is just the workload of everything that has gone into marketing this book and getting ready to release it and then getting ready to go.
I thought you were going
to
say leave an ember.
On tour. That is what I'm leading into. Getting ready to go on tour and leaving Ember. I've been like every night sneaking into her room after, like when we go up to go to bed, to just stare at her and see how cute she is all cuddled up.
Yeah.
And like just reading all the extra stories and all the extra park dates. And it just, I feel like once we actually leave and are on tour, it won't be as hard as it is right now with the anticipation of leaving. Because I'm so just...
And to everyone kind of wondering, like...
Preliminarily
we
sad.
Would bring her if that was possible.
Yeah. But we thought about... That was our first plan.
Just
was
with
to
her,
try to bring
with
her.
With the nanny, with the car seat, with all the equipment, with all the travel, with like three
it would have
events
been selfish
a day.
It
would have
us.
Been selfish, yeah.
Because she would have been... You know, we're basically in media and doing book signings and busy from like 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day that we're on tour.
Yeah,
so
it would just
crazy.
Be a lot. That would have been.
We wouldn't even see her anyways. And then we would have to buy two extra plane tickets and two extra hotel
rooms.
We'd
rather have her kind of here comfortable in her environment with people she loves.
But that's not to say that I might not change my mind later. We'll see. It's just going to be tough. So that's my thorn. What's your thorn, babe?
Man. My thorn.
We never think about these before we start recording.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a pretty good week. I would say I've got more roses than thorns, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's
your knee.
Yeah, my knee, probably. I started bike riding again, just kind of needing to get out.
And Ember loves the bike trailer.
And Ember loves the bike trailer, which I love. Which I love. Which I love too, because obviously that means I get to bike more and get back into biking. And I get to do it with her. So that's cool. But every time I get off my knee, I can't crouch down. And so I'm trying to puzzle together what that means.
It just hurts or what is it?
Yeah. Like I crouch down and then I can't get back up. I have to straighten my leg out before I stand up because my knee is just really painful. It's the same thing that happened when we ran the half marathon where I train and on the side.
Probably just have really tight IT bands.
Super, super,
you need to roll
super,
out.
Super tight IT bands.
You need to roll
bands.
Out on my old roller. It's in the garage, the orange thing, pipe, PVC pipe thing.
Yeah.
Hurts, but
that's
good.
My thorn. Babe, hurts what's your so rose?
Good. My rose has been our launch team. I think they have just been such an encouragement, not only just in how they're helping us get word out about our book, but they are the only people who have read our book and they've read our
At
book
this
in
point,
a
yeah.
day. Most of them read our book in like a day or two.
Their feedback has been awesome.
And it's just been so encouraging to get. It's the first feedback that Jer and I have gotten about the book. We now have handed it out to a couple of our friends that have read it too, and they've given us some really encouraging feedback as well. And that's been a massive thorn because Jeremy and I have been really nervous as it gets closer and closer to this book releasing out into the world. I think I did an Instagram post a little while ago talking about this, just how, you know, we've been working on this for 2 years and nobody has read the book except for like maybe 5 to 10 people max. Yeah. And all of a sudden, thousands of people are going to get it and read it. So it's just crazy. But so my rose was the launch team, because they've just been doing, they've been such an encouragement. And we got to have a Zoom call with all the launch team leaders the other night. And that was just really fun and encouraging.
They're like working hard for us.
And yeah.
For this,
and it's
really it's for this book.
And they believe in the book so much, which is just so encouraging. And so anyways, if you guys aren't on a launch team, you can still join one, right? I think.
I don't think at this point.
I think you can join them up until the book comes out. If you go to teamrolloff.com, you can see all the launch team leaders there and you can join a team.
Yeah.
We're giving out some fun stuff for the team that wins too. So
yeah.
What's your rose, babe?
Yeah, my rose probably would be the feedback we've been getting from the book so far, from the launch team and specifically my dad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw on his Instagram, but
he posted
that he read the book and that
him and Karen read the book together.
Yeah, they read it in 2 days and they loved it. They said, like, they called us and my dad called me and said it was fantastic.
Which Jer's dad doesn't tell him often that, like, he just isn't that kind of personality, you know, like he doesn't.
Yeah. So that was
that just meant so much.
That was really, really cool. And then, you know, he doesn't know a lot of what we do and, you know, we're in a different world than he is business wise. Kind of a generation gap there. So for him to kind of see the work we've put into it and just listen to the stories and listen to what we're sharing, he thought it was absolutely fantastic. So that was a big rose.
That was encouraging for me, for you.
Yeah, definitely. So all that being said, man, we are ramping up.
Yeah,
we're getting excited. Mix of emotions, I feel, because the whole Ember thing and stuff. But at the end of the day, I think we're both, babe, really excited. Like, this book's about to get out there. And I've been saying, we're kind of at the point now where it's out of our hands. Like, all the work we could have done for this has been done. And so now it's just in the hands of the readers, the audience, and ultimately the Lord's. And I think the Lord's going to do what he's going to do with it.
Babe, I want to say something about that, because I was thinking about this morning. I don't know if you remember this as well as I do, but I was talking to one of my friends on the phone about how it's kind of like, I feel like right now the season that we're in is we're, you know, a week out from launch.
Yeah.
And it feels like being a week out from your wedding day, where you feel like you need to do all these things and there's so much left to do for the wedding,
but
you just have to say no and go, everything that's done up until this point is what it's going to be. And you just have to enjoy the process now, because otherwise you're going to be miserable, killing yourself, trying to do all this extra stuff that really at the end of the day, no one's going to care about or see or notice, or it's not going to matter.
ROI. Yeah.
Yes. And so right now where I just at this point where I had that epiphany of that correlation, I felt exactly like I felt a week out from my wedding, where I was like, oh, it'd be cool if I made the invitations even cuter. It'd be cool if I did a better gift for my bridesmaids, or I kept having more ideas, and it was like a blessing and a curse, which is exactly what's happening with our book right now. I'm like, well, we could do this and we could do that, but it's like,
and
no.
What do I keep doing?
Shut it down.
And then what do I keep doing?
And then Jeremy's like,
I'm in the garage working on the motorcycle because the weather's getting nicer.
Jeremy's at free time. That's our new joke lately.
Or going on a bike ride with Ember. I'm like, babe, what's done is done. Let's just go relax.
Such a 9 personality. If you guys seen the meme of the guy on the hammock.
You need to calm down.
There's this guy sitting on the hammock and it's like, 9 Enneagram 9s when the rest of the world thinks it's a crisis or emergency or whatever, and it's like a picture of this guy sitting in a hammock sipping his drink. I'm like, that is the epitome of Jeremy.
Protecting my inner peace. Ain't nothing gonna disturb
this. Nothing will ever disturb it.
Well,
yes. Anyways, okay.
Ooh, cramp.
All that to say, we love you guys.
Yep.
We hope we get to meet you in April.
Thanks for hanging through this. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
That is all.
That is all.
Well, and also, oh, you know what? I don't think we've announced this yet. Two episodes a week?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be in two episodes. So instead of see you next week, see you later this week.
Yeah, we got a fun episode for later this week. So yeah. Exciting.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. We appreciate you. Thank you. We will talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.